Are we on, Paulie?
Suddenly got levels. Yes, we're on.
All right.
Well, you know.
Firing up here.
Better late than never, I suppose.
Well, buddy, what were you thinking about coming going into today?
I think you were going to go to James.
Yeah, I think you were going to go to James. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. Do we have any volunteers? Everybody steps back, and I'm still standing. Right? Praise God. All right. There we go. So,
We touched a little bit on James in the service today, and James is, especially chapter one, is just full of good stuff. And I thought we'd look at some of it.
Like one number.
Cool. You want me to start reading?
I'll shoot you the sheet.
Yes, let's.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Okay. So, no beating around the bush. We've got a greeting in verse 1 and verse 2. It's like, dang! Right into the head, right? And you have to... Well, why is it important that we count it? It doesn't mean it is joyful. It just says count it as joyful.
Because you turn your face back to Jesus and the gospel.
And you do fall into diverse temptations. It just happens. You're going to screw up.
Yeah.
And this is about...
You count it all joy because it's you receiving that forgiveness that he has given you as you go forward.
Well, you need faith.
Yeah.
You need faith. And that's the deliverance. The trying of your faith. You know, until your faith's tried, you don't know the quality of it. You know how strong it is. Right?
Right.
And you see your need for Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's humbling.
Absolutely.
It gets you, you know, away from it's all about me. Absolutely. It isn't all about me. You left to my own devices, I fall. And trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, this is the unswerving devotion to a principle or idea that is so steadfast, your devotion to this. There is no trial that can knock you off the course. This patience is a steadfast devotion, in this case, to Jesus.
Absolutely. And your need for him.
Absolutely.
And then what it also does is it builds the trust in him of showing up when you need him. And you know,
until this patience is demonstrated, you have, you know, the patience is demonstrated by you keep coming back to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the unswerving.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Keep looking back on, you're right, Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And I remember one time Brad was coming through. It was probably a year ago or so. You're driving down. I said, "What's up, Brad?" He says, "Fine," and then you know he started kind of going through some of the things that you were struggling with, and he said, "You know, Phil, are we ever going to get this right? We ever going to get this right?"
Not as of yesterday.
I said, "Well, if we got it right, we wouldn't need Jesus anymore. You know, if we think we got it right, then we don't.
Then you don't
think you don't think you need him."
Can I jump in? I was, you know, we're talking about patience as a loyalty, as an unswerving allegiance, I guess. And it really is very much like when you enlist in the U.S. military, like I remember we were coming back one Thanksgiving. We'd been at sea for a long time. And we got to Charleston Harbor, and they said, no, there's a sub out there. You got to go chase it. And we went, you know. Once you sign up, then you're in, and you do whatever has to be done when it comes up. You know? We didn't like it, but there was never any question of not doing it. You know? That's that unswerving loyalty and patience.
Yep. And verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. The perfect work is training you in the experience that Jesus is faithful and trustworthy, and that you know you keep coming to Him, and you keep coming to Him, and putting your casting everything you've got at Him, on Him, and letting it's the proving of your faith. You know, it is. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In Jesus is that completeness, that perfectness. And
Completes the work. When you're saying perfect, I'm thinking that's like it's a completed work. It's not perfect. Like when you say perfect in the world, people have some kind of odd connotation, but it's a complete work.
Well, if Jesus wasn't able to make you perfect, then you're screwed. That's all I mean.
Yeah.
Sorry for the common language there, but you know that's pretty much the way it is.
Well, I mean, just reading this is interesting. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is, you are complete in Jesus,
right,
and what He has done, and you don't need of anything. You're not lacking of anything. You have what you need from Him. The forgiveness. The grace.
Right.
And a lot of a lot of this ongoing process is to get all your faith. This has come up a couple of times over the last month or so. You're given a measure of faith just because you're a man, but that faith gets divided between various places. So the troubles and the trying of your faith, all this stuff, it brings your faith back in, focused entirely on Christ Himself.
Right.
It's like the glass with the rocks in it kind of thing.
And, you know, this point here where it says, you know, wanting nothing, that means you got everything you need with Jesus.
Yeah.
You got everything you need with Him. And that's all you need. And it's coming down to realizing that's all you need. Is Jesus.
That's all you can rely on.
That's right. That's all you can put your faith in.
Yeah.
That's the only sure thing is Jesus. Right. Or I shouldn't say thing, the sure man and His faithfulness.
But
is Him.
I came to Christ naked and dirty. He accepted me. I have faith in Him. Enough faith to be saved by Him. But still messed up. And so I try my own devices, I get distracted, all these things. And it's always found wanting. And when these things crash and burn, now we're back into James, you know, count it all joy, because that is the perfecting of the faith, my faith.
Yeah, you're putting those own devices and things that you're working on, and then they tumble and crash, then you put your faith where it belongs in Jesus. And not those devices, whatever they may be, or idols, or whatever they are.
And that crash and burn, that is the grace and mercy of God. If He allowed these things to succeed, where would I be?
And what we're going to see here in James is this is for those laid low, and those who've been laid low, you know, have realized that they have a need of a Savior, and later on he addresses the religious, those who think their piety is something, but the good news is that he's the Lord of all, those who have surety in their, and I don't mean to cast the negative connotation on it, could be because the exact scripture says, let me get to it. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So we addressed in the opening the ones who have fallen, and he addresses here the ones that have stood. You know, occasionally you stand successfully through temptation, but the common thing is, whether you have stood successfully or you have fallen, you still need Jesus.
That's it. Then the only reason why they had stood successfully is because their eyes were on Jesus,
because
the one that get them
patience,
through.
Because patience has had his perfect work.
Right.
And we've actually learned something right. And applied it. So.
And now we can have faith in God through that situation or temptation or whatever it may be.
Right.
And that's all that it is, but it's still the Lord making up the difference there and making up the difference for the one that's counting it all joy.
Right.
I mean, it's still Jesus.
Right. So verse 5.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
So, you might get it.
We just read.
That's right. That's right.
But it has up here, wanting nothing.
Yep.
So if you're lacking something, like it says here, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. To all men liberally.
And on to the next part. And upbraideth not. He's not going to beat you up because you don't know much.
It's not. There's no tags addressed. He's just going to give it to you. You want to go out there and serve him and have faith in him and know him.
That's why.
And you need what you need, the things to go to do his will. He's going to give it to you.
Said he would.
He promises it in his word. If you really do want it, and we're going to go and talk about something else here in a second. But did you? Sorry, Paulie.
Going back to the military analogy, right? So you've enlisted in a military force, and you're going to do what they say when they say, whether you like it or not. And there's a whole lot of not. But you don't provide for yourself. That army is tasked with providing what you need, all your logistical support. And that's what I'm seeing in this. Here you are, you're engaged in the Lord's warfare, and you come up lacking. Of course he's going to give you what you need. Of course he is. He wants you to win. You're
and
fighting
the
for him.
Good thing about his supply lines are never jammed.
That's right.
Yeah, really.
there's never a lot of... There's never a blockage.
Yeah.
They can't hijack it. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So, apparently your faith can waver.
Yes.
What kind of condition is your faith in? Right?
Right.
How many places have you got it scattered? And then it addresses in verse 7, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, if you don't believe that you can receive it, you're not going to receive it.
Absolutely.
And it says this man is what?
Double-minded.
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That faith needs to be stable. It needs to be concentrated on that is worth the faith. And Jesus, who gives all men liberally
and upbraideth not. You know the interesting about the giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not? You know, when I was in Texas, that, you know, I just was accepted in his body. I just knew it. knew it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I was good, what I have done or what I have not done. It was none of those things. It was just because of what he did. You know, this giveth to all men liberally. There's doesn't matter what the man has done, what he will do. It doesn't. If he sets his faith on Jesus Christ and asks him, you will get it. If you ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart, he will. He will. That's why he did what he did.
That's just a cool thing. You can ask for wisdom, you get it.
Yeah.
As we all come up short and start leading with our chin and wonder why we get beat up.
You know, you said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything. All right, you know, we went to, but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, and I look at that as riding the fence. You're putting your faith still in all these other things instead of Jesus Christ. In your own intellect. In people. In things. In riches. All kinds of things. You put your faith and trust in and not in him. You're riding the fence. You're not going to get that wisdom because you're about your own business still. Not about his. And that's a choice that you make. It's a simple choice that any man can make. Because can anybody make a choice?
And this is the, you know, the next verse. The brother, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. He's exalted by his humility before God.
Now, when I see a brother of low degree, I'm thinking that's a man of no means. He's just
not
just six pack, right?
Nothing to be proud of, and not pride, not prideful.
Yeah. Can I go back to your fence analogy?
Yeah.
If you're, of course, I'm currently homeless. But before, if you were sitting on the fence in between my lot and Andy's lot, you were on my property. Because in South Carolina, you typically do not build your fence on your property line. So in a spiritual sense, if I think I'm riding the fence, you know, playing around on the borderline, I've already crossed over. You're already an enemy territory.
And you already are the enemy of Christ. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Paul, you were reading something this morning that was in Romans, where he's talking about wanting to think of themselves as the enemy of Christ. Now, let me tell you something. There is no kingdom of God. Are you going to either serve God or are you going to serve Satan? I mean, which one? It's going to be one of the two. There's no that gray. It's not that gray area. And there's all these people, well, I don't involve myself in either. Well, no, you're just an enemy of Christ. You know what I mean? If you're not on that side of the fence, if you have not chosen and made your choice in Him to make Him Lord and Savior.
He that gathers not with me scatters abroad, which we were kicking that around.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Are you going to bring people to Christ? Or are you going to push people away from Christ? Are you going to be the enemy of Christ?
And that's it. There ain't no.
Or are you going to be on His side in His kingdom? There's no gray area. This riding the fence thing is a place of not choice. That place of not choice is enemy.
Yes.
That's right.
You already made your choice.
Right. And you know, as you go along, we're talking about the patience as it's going along, as Jesus is working. That which is, you know, let patience have a perfect work. We want to let patience have a perfect work. As we grow in the Lord starts taking some. He doesn't show us everything that's wrong with us in our heart, right at rib. No. You wouldn't be able to bear it. You're right. But Jesus, step by step, reveals you to the unbelief, the hatred, the preferring of yourself. The corruptness of our natural man, and how we put things before him. And what he does is he just starts scraping those things off. And it's through this process here that it's done. That's why you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. One of those things is getting the crap off you, getting shed up. You know,
it does sound, you know, like. to the casual observer, perhaps, that this is, you know, a contradiction when you get to this, right? We just did all this, and now we're here. We haven't gotten there yet.
We
will get there, I promise you. The next verse is, but the rich in that he's made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. And that's following again verse 9. Rejoice. That's what he's talking about there. But the rich, let them rejoice in that he's made low. Because the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish, grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So it's a grace to the rich man to be laid low as well.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, that, again, this is like, you know, choosing up top there to count it all joy. This might not be joyful either, but it is something to rejoice about, because he's still made acceptable to the Lord.
Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Look, this stuff that the rich guy has, these things that the rich guy has, he ain't going to be able to take any of those riches with him. It ain't going to happen. Not one bit. You know, the thing is, but in the rich is made low, that they can become humble before the Lord and know him. But if he cleaves unto that, you know, it's not, you know, we talk about money a little bit. It's not, money isn't evil, it's the love of money.
Yeah, nothing's evil of itself.
But if your faith is in that, you're just going to fade away and
right.
Burn up.
That, and that's what I was getting at. That's what he's saying.
And then verse 12.
The one you've been wanting to get to, Paulie. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You want me to stop there?
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, this is not the one that this is probably not the most common experience
we have.
But I suppose it's possible. It's theoretically,
well, it's
one
it
of those things, just theoretically possible. That I might actually get something right once in a while. And, you know, even that is humbling. It's not where we go, though. We want to go. It's humbling to the spirit.
Because
it's still not us.
It's him working that out in us. And it's his love, his spirit that got it done.
And the next few verses are about this kind of attitude that can crop up in people that endure temptation. It's, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. The first thing we want to do is go blame God.
It is. Naturally, we do. I've caught it within myself all the time. I mean, how many times have you been in a situation, folks, and get honest with yourself here, been in a situation that you didn't like, was not fun, was not comfortable, and you just couldn't believe in the situation you're in, your immediate thought was like,
well, this is
dang,
common.
Lord, why are you putting me through this?
This is common both to the one that endures the temptation and the one who falls. They both tend to want to go blame God. So, you know, all I can tell you is what the scripture says. No man, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted to God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So that isn't it.
No.
Whatever it is, it ain't that.
Right, exactly. It's within yourself that's going on.
That's correct. And then, you know, it continues to explain. But every man is tempted. This is how it works.
Right.
This is the way it works in you. When he is drawn away by his own of his own lust and enticed, it's in him.
It's in him.
It's in him anyway. And then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death.
It's like this, Paul. We had I've seen The Gods Must Be Crazy. I don't know if you guys seen that, but you had, it's a Coke bottle. They threw out the in there in Africa. It's in African plains. The guy's flying over Africa. He throws a Coke bottle out there. The Bush people get their hands on it and they make so much use of it. And man, God has given us a great tool. And I mean, they were loving, man, praising God for that tool that was just given out of them from heaven. So they thought, well, they started using it. Then all of a sudden they started fighting with it. And then it started becoming, everybody wanted it. Everybody was fighting with one another. It turned things upside down. And they blamed the bottle. Then they tried to give it back to God and throw it up in the air. And I looked at that and I'm going, that bottle's just a freaking bottle.
That's right.
It's what's in them that came out. It's what's in them that came out. And that's what he's talking about right here. It's not God. It's what's in us is the ugliness that comes out.
Yeah, and it's God's mercy, like we were saying before. It's God's mercy and his grace in our lives that allows us to get manifest, because he doesn't want you walking around like that. That's like we start out with talking about a double-minded man. I mean, obviously that's not where you want to be, but that's a very sorry place to spend any time. Like one foot in the kingdom, one foot out of the kingdom, it's awful. I know.
Well, it's also, it's the straddling the fence is literally belief and unbelief. That's what it really is.
Yeah, well, it's misery in the moment.
Where were we? Oh. And the next verse. Okay, we had the process explained to us. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And the error is blaming God for the way we are. And the correction's coming. Verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Now why does he stop there and say that?
Because every good thing,
we're stupid and we keep losing perspective.
How good God is.
Absolutely.
And how good he's been to us, and how he's provided for us. Even his own life.
Absolutely.
We forget how good God is. And that's Satan's M.O. That's what he attacks you with. And that's why he's brought up. But every man is tempted and is drawn away from his own lust and is enticed. He tells you the truth about what's going on.
Yep.
And then he tells you how good God is. Because we need to remember that.
Absolutely.
Because our natural mind goes against that. Our carnal mind goes absolutely against that. It's at enemy with God.
Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And once again, this is about, I spoke you into existence. I mean, that's really it. And The reason you're here, the reason you're breathing, is because
I created.
Because I'm good. I created you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we can't. We started this little passage here with our tendency to blame God. And you want to turn your wrath away from that, quick.
Absolutely.
Because that's not a sustainable position. You can't keep that one going. That'll kill you.
Absolutely.
And
it's interesting that you say, you know, where, and then you go from that to 119, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
There's just some things you ought to consider before you run your mouth.
Absolutely. And not just that, you should, that quicking to hear is to be attentive to the Lord.
Yeah.
And what he has, instead of reacting to the situation. That's why it says slow to hear, speak, whom, slow to wrath.
Whom he sends you.
What's that?
Be quick to hear those whom he sends to you to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
And slow to speak is like slow to answer him back, because, you know, to get defensive really quick. It's like, I want to justify myself here. And that doesn't work either. So, but the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
That's a good one.
That's all you need to know.
That's a good one for the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
You know, when you think, like, work, so I'm going to go do this. You know, walk.
Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And you got to remember, meekness is humility before God and boldness before anybody else. Boldness about the word of God. Boldness about the gospel.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not swaying from the truth. Not compromising the truth.
Right.
I mean, look, was not Moses the meekest man of all the earth? Was
before
that
God.
Before God. Right.
Not before Pharaoh.
No. Not one bit. Or the people that came up against him.
Right.
As far as other nations. I mean, because I think they took a few down. On the way, and while they're in the desert there.
Yeah. Filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, my understanding of that is like sexually oriented joking, jesting, naughtiness.
It's actually just an abundance of evil intentions and evil motives. It is more than just
joking around.
More than sexual.
Jesting in itself, this is not convenient, but when you've got like a lot of innuendo in with it, that's how I always read that. But you're saying no, it would include that.
And that wherefore lay apart all
filthiness. It's bigger than that.
Yeah, it's not, you know, and superfluity of naughtiness, I wouldn't say just a...
I remember looking that up, but I don't remember what it's exactly.
Well, it's contrasted with receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So, I mean, that's definitely the light of the gospel.
Paul looks like he's looking up the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness here.
If I can just not electrocute myself by leaning over.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of water. Actually, Jeff's been doing some good work outside, so yeah, the flow through the living room has slowed. So when he's talking about getting electrocuted, that probably won't happen. But, well, maybe.
Somebody can talk.
I'm about to.
Live radio! What's the next verse on that list?
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's a good point. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Look, we can go up, and then we've talked about this many times. You can come in on Tuesdays and listen to the men's Bible study.
Do
Wednesday with the women. You can do
Thursday
at church. You can do Sunday And you can go there and you can hear the Word of God. And you can listen to it and you can go over the Bible studies. But if you never put it to practice, if you never do it in faith,
the naughtiness is literally malice.
Is malice. Paul's saying the naughtiness is literally malice. Which is what?
Wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws.
Dude!
You know, gas warfare was banned by the United Nations. I'm just saying.
Do you want me to continue on with 22, Paulie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look, if you go in and you're listening, and you're not doing anything about the Lord and what's being delivered to you, then it's going to profit you nothing. You're deceiving your own selves to even think that, hey, I'm right. I'm saved. I got it right with the Lord. I go to church on Sunday. That ain't going to justify you. And if all you're doing is hearing the word and not putting practice and stepping out in faith and trust in Him and building that relationship, it's going to do you no good.
All right, let me play Baptist advocate here for a minute. All right, so I believe in Jesus, me and Satan. I got that part right. I know He's God. I know I'm a sinner. I'm tithing. I don't drink, smoke, curse, or chew. I'm a family guy. Work a job. I'm all right.
You go ahead.
This is where we live.
I know. And the point is that, remember, I mean, you know, I'm looking at this and all I can think of is that you're not accepted by any of those things, only by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you need to know Him.
But I'm telling you, I'm out around the bonfire talking to the guys, to almost all of them, that is pretty well where they're going to stand. And they'll tell you, I'm okay. I believe right. I'm doing right. I'm not involved in anything really off the wall.
But the standard you're measuring by is not God's standard.
Absolutely.
That's man's standard. And that's the whole issue with the whole Pharisaical order back then when it was...
This self-righteous. I mean, that's all that is a list of you're doing the right, making the right choices to be a righteous American...
Good old boy.
And that just doesn't justify you.
It's the old thing about in John 4 about, you know, he who seeks to worship me needs to worship me in spirit and truth.
Absolutely.
It's like I set the standards of what I receive as worship. And you don't. Man don't make those standards. That's not the way it works.
You know, you look at this doers of the word here, and I like that because Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Yeah. And Abraham offered his son, and God stopped him. That was asked of Abraham by God. He believed God, trusted God,
to the point of
offering his own son, and knew he would have to raise him from the dead, is what it says in Hebrews. He did the word. He came to Noah and said, "Build the ark." He believed God and feared and built the ark. So you saying that you actually believe God and His Word and you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. Not the truth. You're a liar. And that's just it.
There you go.
It goes for all of us. And you know, I mean... For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was.
I try to avoid that image at all costs. You know, I have no mirror in my bathroom. I have it covered over with black paper, and I don't want to see. I'm just saying. That's a skit.
You know, this thing right here, you know, and I, as I look at this, I've for many times read this over and haven't got the clarity on it, and hopefully you can help me out with that, Paul. You know, for if any of you, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, let me try and see now for this correction. Hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What, he forgets that he's a sinner?
Yeah.
Forgets that he needs Christ.
Yeah.
Is that what that's saying there?
Yeah.
That's okay.
This more satisfied with himself. And, you know, the Lord shows you some of the corrupt nature of your heart, and you get a glimpse of it, and then suddenly you just go,
God. Yeah. Be merciful to me, a sinner.
But, you know, if you turn away from that and go, you ignore it, then you're...
But what you're pointing to there, and this is something that man Steve has said repeatedly, to walk in humility is painful, man. I mean, that's really what you're describing. You're saying, and you too, Phil, you're saying you're to walk day by day knowing that you're really a wretch and that you're utterly dependent on the grace of Jesus Christ. And people have, I think, real experiences with the Lord, you know, altar calls and all that, and they see this. They really, really see it, and they respond. And they really do respond, but they don't keep it. And I see why they don't want to keep it. Because, man, I don't like to keep it. I want to feel good. You know, what you're suggesting is like a low-level, I don't know, it's like a discomfort constant.
Well, if you're not made uncomfortable by the presence of God and anointing people carrying the anointing, it's uncomfortable because of our corruptness. It is normal. It's normal to be, but it keeps you in remembrance.
You don't bring
anything to this.
Well, that's exactly right. You're to remember what manner of man you are. Like Paul said, as the apostle, I am the chief of sinners.
Absolutely.
And the publican beat his chest, have mercy on me, O God, sinner. And those were commended. That is the call.
That is the call. How far away from the end of this?
Looks like, yeah, right there. So...
we're close to the end of the time too.
But whosoever looketh...
Well, literally, what is the word we're supposed to do?
Love God, love one another.
That's where it starts. And, you know, you can't do that and be...
all about you.
All about you and how pleased you are with your status and your station and all this kind of stuff. Because he won't deal with you.
You're saying love God with all your heart, but that worship is only in spirit and truth. So we're to worship with our spirit, but we're encumbered by this rotten flesh. And that's, I think, maybe what I'm describing, that thing that just does not get better.
Yeah.
You may learn to ignore it.
You can put that old man off and walk in the power of God by faith. And we do that, we should be doing that as... doers of the word, we
know him.
Right. As doers of the word, we should be doing that every morning. You know, we're talking about loving God. You know, loving God, that's before and putting him before everything. And yeah, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is preferring them before yourself.
Another good Colossians word.
Right.
That he may have preeminence.
Right. You can't love your neighbor unless you're loving God first.
Right.
And this, where he's talking about deceiving your own self, you deceive your own self if you only hear the word and don't do it. That means you don't love God.
Yeah.
You're not loving him the way he said he wanted to be loved.
Right.
There ain't one way, and that's his way.
Right.
In spirit and in truth.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to have your deeds blessed?
Amen, brother. Yes. Hands up right here. I do want that.
Amen. The perfect law of liberty goes, you know, and instructs you about your... your corruptness, and then the grace and mercy that sets you free from the bondage of it.
That, yes.
And it makes you humble. It should humiliate you, is what I'm saying here. And when you realize that you're standing in humiliation, that all this is grace and mercy, that's this is where you're trusting in your laid lowness, the coming exaltation that is in Jesus Christ. And
you know, it was just like I was describing before. I mean, we went to the Texas ministry, or the ministers' conventions, excuse me, and I was accepted. Jesus accepted me by what he did, not by what I did.
Yeah.
Not about how bad I was, or how well I behaved, or whatever. None of that. In spite of me, he loved me. That's the perfect law of living, that he accepts you. And his, if we would just but receive it, it's there for you. If we would just but receive it, and I received it.
Let's try and work in the last two verses here. Right. If any among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And
the tongues of fire.
Yeah. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And these are, literally, these are orphans and widows that have been made widows and orphans by a vanquishing army, an invading army.
Well, you know, and I also look at this as well, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. What are we without Jesus? We are bastards. I mean, you get what I'm saying? I mean, we are, if we're not, you got all these people that need the gospel to be reconciled back to the Father again. He's the one that created all of this. You know, without, you know, that fatherless there, I mean, that to me is going out preaching the gospel.
Yeah, that's...
You know what I'm saying? And then to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction.
Y'all say goodbye, because we are going out.
All right, bye.